familiar voice, the 2SER astrophysics professor, Jonty Horner at the University of South Queensland, is here with us today. Jonty, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. How are you going?
Going very well. So, in short, what are leap years and why do we even have them?
Well, they're a way of making sure that our calendar does what we expect it to. And what I mean by that is that we have this expectation that certain times of year correspond to certain seasons. You know, we get midsummer on December 21st here in Australia. We get the autumn equinox around March 21st. And the seasons go with the calendar, they go hand in hand. Now, if the year was an exact number of weeks and the year was an exact number of days long, then that would all be fine and it would all work like that in perpetuity. But when you got told at school that a year is 365 days, that wasn't quite the whole truth. Depending on how you measure it, the year is either 365.256 days or 365.24219 days. Mm-hmm. And that's assuming that you're using the 24-hour version of the day rather than the 23-hour, 56 minutes and 4 seconds version, just to add even more complexity to it.
Yeah.
The basic answer here is we like to think in simple terms. We like to break things down into equal parts. Mm. But the reality of life is messy. And we know this day-to-day life, you know. Everything is a bit like this, and space is no exception. The Earth spins on its axis. That's what we call the day. And if you measure that day with reference to the background stars, which are so far away you can pretend they're not moving, the Earth takes 23 hours, 56 minutes, and 4 seconds to spin once. Mm-hmm. That's the time it takes for a given star to rise, set, and get back to the point of rising again. But in that period, because we're moving around the sun, our view of the sun is such that it appears to have moved against those background stars.
Yeah.
And so the Earth has to turn an extra 3 minutes and 56 seconds before you get sunrise again. That's because of our motion around the sun. And that's why we have two different kinds of day. You've got the solar day, which is the time it takes from one sunrise to the next. And you've got the sidereal day, which is the day measured with respect to the stars. And we just use the solar day. We use the 24-hour one.
Mm. And that's the same for the calendar as well. We have two different variations of the calendar that follow each of those to match, right?
Kind of, yes. So the year, in terms of the way you get taught it at school, the kind of simplest explanation is the time it takes us to go exactly once around the sun, or a bit more accurately, for us and the sun to complete one orbit of our common center of gravity. We do a big orbit, the sun wobbles a little bit, and that incidentally is how we find planets around other stars, by looking at those stars wobbling.
Yeah.
We think about the Earth going all the way around the sun exactly once, and that taking 365 days, but it actually doesn't quite. It takes 365.256 days. And that's the time it takes the sun, from our viewpoint, to go all the way around the sky and come back to where it started from with respect to the background stars. Mm-hmm. So that's the equivalent of the solar day. That's what we call the solar year, essentially. However, that's not that useful to us because the Earth isn't a fixed platform in space. It's also wobbling a bit on its axis. It's doing something we call precession.
Yeah.
And if you ever had a spinning top as a kid, you're familiar with this. You spin the spinning top and as it spins, it wobbles around a little bit. The direction the top of it's pointing wobbles around. If you imagine a laser beam coming out of that,
yeah,
draw a circle on your ceiling. That's called precession. And what that means is that over the course of 26,000 years, the Earth will do one complete wobble. Mm-hmm. What that means is in 1 year, the Earth does 1/26,000th of a wobble.
So how relevant is that to actually fit into our calendar calculations if that's such an expansive period of time?
It's a tiny little thing, but 1/26,000th of a year is 20 minutes. Mm. And so we have a different kind of year that we measure, not the year that is one exact lap of the sun, but rather it's the time from one spring equinox to the next spring equinox, or one midwinter to the next midwinter, from the start of a season to the start of the next version of that season.
Yeah.
And that takes account of that wobble, that precession. And that time is 20 minutes shorter than what we'd call the kind of solar year. Mm. And that's where our 365.24219 days comes from.
All right.
That's the time it takes exactly from midwinter's day 1 year to midwinter's day the next, or from the vernal equinox 1 year to vernal equinox the next year.
Okay, and that's if you pick any point in the year. It's not like that is a, you know, key marker that is incredibly easy to tell or anything. It's just a useful point of reference.
It is, and it's a useful thing for us because that's how we define the seasons. Mm. The meteorological seasons here in Australia are slightly different, but they're linked. They're only a couple of weeks out of sync.
Yeah.
But essentially, the vernal equinox is the one everybody uses just because you pick one. And mm-hmm. that's the spring equinox in the northern hemisphere, the autumn one for us. And it's a point at which the sun moves from being in the southern hemisphere of the sky to the northern hemisphere. So it's the point at which we get 12 hours a day, 12 hours a night of the entire planet as we're shifting towards our winter.
Uh-huh. So you were mentioning earlier that if we don't have leap years and, you know, adjusting our time to match, we start to get seasonal drift, and then seasons don't change at these times, and the vernal equinox would be at a completely different time of the year. Obviously, our calendar has been refined at many points throughout history, such as the adoption of the Gregorian calendar. So what happened before that? Did previous ages of humanity just let the seasons lapse into different times of the year? Did we have to adjust the numbers to suddenly catch up?
There's a variety of different calendars out there, and there are even these things called lunisolar calendars, which are based around the lunar month, that have an entirely different system of leap time, where they have leap months that are dropped in every few years, because their months are either 354 days or 383 days. So there are different ways of doing it. For the Western calendar, the first attempt at sorting this is a modern Western calendar was the Julian calendar, which was decreed by Julius Caesar in 46 BC. And he said, if you just have 365 days every year, then you get out by nearly a quarter of a day every year, basically because of that 0.24219, or 0.25 as they thought it was then.
Yeah.
So he said, every fourth year without fail, you have one extra day in February, and that's your leap year. And then over 4 years, you've got 3 years that are 365 days, one that is 366. So the average length of the year becomes 365.25 days, averaged over those 4 years. And that's nearly 365.24219, so it's near enough. So that's the way it started. And the first few years of that, they got a bit confused. They added them every 3 years for a bit. Then they stopped adding them to let everything settle out again. But by about 8 or 12 AD, things were pretty settled. And for the next 1,500 and a bit years, nothing much changed. They used that calendar where every fourth year, without fail, you have a longer year by one day. In the mid-1500s, though, people were starting to notice the error, that little difference between 0.25 and 0.24219, tiny as it sounds, had mounted up over 1,500 years, such that the date of the equinoxes was out by 10 days. Doesn't sound like very much, but that's the point at which it starts to become noticeable. And particularly for religious observance like Easter, people want Easter to happen at the same kind of time every year in terms of around in the spring for the Northern Hemisphere. So people were interested in fixing the calendar. And that's where the Gregorian calendar comes in. That was launched by Pope Gregory to try and offset this. And instead of having every fourth year without fail a leap year, which is 100 leap years in every 400 years, he changed it so you only had 97 leap years every 400 years. And the way he did that was he said, if you have a year that is a century year, so 1500 or 1600 or 1700, that year is divisible by four, so it would normally be a leap year. But if you cannot divide it by 400, then it isn't a leap year, if you can't divide it and get a whole number. So the year 1500 wouldn't be a leap year, because that's divided by four gives you 400, sorry, gives you 3 3/4. Whereas 1600, if you divide by 400, gives you 4. So that would be a leap year. So that gets rid of 3 of the leap years in every 400-year cycle. And that changes the average length of your year over that 400-year period from 365 and a quarter to 365.2425, which is almost there. It's almost right. It's almost bang on. And in fact, it's close enough to that 365.24219 that it would take thousands of years for the difference to mount up enough for you to notice it. It's only off in any given year by about 28 seconds, I think.
That's
pretty good going.
Yeah, on cosmic scales, that's pretty close.
It's pretty awesome, and it's a reflection of how when we observe things over really long periods of time, we can get a really good handle on how long the Earth takes to spin, how long it takes to go around the Sun. And the thing that almost fascinates me about this is the way that we take all this machinery for granted. You know, we just grow up with the calendar and we think it's normal. But I kind of imagine the thought experiment of getting a very intelligent person who has just never experienced our calendar, who, I don't know, grew up with the wolves since we're talking about the Romans, you know, born by Romulus and Remus, fully conversant, but never come across a calendar, and you try and explain it to them, and you say, well, how does it work? We've got a year, and that's the time from one winter to the next winter, essentially. 365 days nearly, and we break that up into 12 periods, but we don't break it up into 12 equal periods. They're slightly uneven, and we call those months. But then every fourth year, except for some fourth years, 97 fourth years out of 400 fourth years, we add an extra day. And it doesn't seem transparently obvious.
No,
it's
it really
not
doesn't.
Straightforward. And I just think it's amazing that we have this gift, this talent as a species for taking something that is so wonderfully complicated and based on all this complicated wobbling and wibbling and spinning and everything that's going on, and we make it mundane. We make it a boring thing that, oh, we've just printed a calendar with an extra day on it.
Yeah.
Everybody has a little giggle at, oh, it's a leap year and, you know, women can propose to men. And then we forget about it. We just gloss over it. And I think that's really fascinating.
It'd definitely be interesting to look back through history and particularly see around periods, you know, such as when the Gregorian calendar was adopted, you know, what changes people went through. Because, you know, there are some who say these days that we should, for example, adopt the 13-month business calendar. And, you know, that's far too much of a stress to put ourselves through. But yet people in the past have put themselves through this with the Gregorian calendar, with the Julian calendar. So, you know, who knows? Maybe this isn't even the final form of our calendar.
It's funny you should say that. There is another version of the calendar knocking around. And, of course, the change from the Julian to the Gregorian calendar also readjusted time to take out those 10-day difference. So 10 days were skipped. Those countries that adopted it later had to skip more days because the difference between 97 leap days in four centuries and 100 gradually mounted up. So Turkey, for example, didn't take on board the Gregorian calendar till the early 1900s. So it had to shift its calendar by 13 days at that point. There's then something called the Milankovitch calendar, or the modified Julian calendar, which instead of having 97 leap days per 100 years, it has 218 leap days, if I get this right, every 900 years. So in 900 years, it's got seven fewer than you'd have. Does the math slightly differently? That calendar is identical to ours between March the 1st, 1600, and February 29th, 2800. And then it'll diverge by one day. And that's actually in use by some countries and some churches. And it's very slightly closer to that ideal of 365.24219. In reality, we're not really going to need to modify the calendar, though, for a very long time. And probably the next driver is not going to be anything to do with the Earth. It's going to be when we move off Earth.
Yeah.
And we start living in places where that driver of the seasons, that driver of the spin of the Earth is no longer there.
And then coordinating them between different planets.
Exactly. That's going to be a really interesting challenge because on Mars, the days are 37 minutes longer than on Earth. So gradually your two clocks are going to get out of sync. And if you're trying to stick to the 24-hour clock, sometimes you'll be working during the day, sometimes you'll be working during the night. The years are different lengths. So there is going to eventually, if we do move beyond the Earth, and I appreciate that's still science fiction for the most part. Yeah. If we do, we're going to have to think seriously about whether an Earth-based calendar makes sense for off-Earth settlement. Or whether we need to do other things, how you sync them together. Do we go to Stardate? You know, do we go all Star Trek on things? We'll need to have those discussions.
Well, that is absolutely fascinating. And as a deep Trekkie myself, it's always good to hear a reference there at the end. As a keen casual astrophysicist myself, I always love talking about the absolutely ludicrous implications of tiny numbers.
Well, it's really fascinating, isn't it? And
yeah.
I wasn't that excited until the uni said, oh, there's a leap year coming up. Should we just put out a press release? I said, why not?
Yeah.
I didn't think many people would be interested. And it has generated a surprising amount of interest. And when you dig into it, it's easy to understand why, because it's not the most straightforward thing.
Yeah, I think I saw a video quite some time ago about how, like, I think George Washington actually had two birthdays because of the changeover to the Gregorian calendar, and there were various historical documents around the world that disagreed on how old he was because of that.
Well, it's one of the great challenges, I think, for people who do the kind of astronomical history stuff. Digging back through the past, when you found a 10-day deletion from the calendar at different times in different countries, it must be really interesting trying to tie these documents together. You know, if you have some observations taken in 18th century Turkey, they were still using the Julian calendar. You've got to sync them up. So it's given me a bit of a enhanced respect for all people, archaeology and historian, just because you don't think of the minutiae of figuring these things out.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Dr. John T. Horner, thank you very much for joining us here on Drive today. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for having me.
As always, if you want to catch up on any of Dr. John T. Horner's work, we have his contributions up on the 2SER website, 2SER.com, and we'll have links on the podcast for more. You're listening to Drive here on 2SER. My name is Felix Shannon.